The Defense Department has been trying to get a clear sense from the White House about what it wants and does not want in the Overseas Contingency Operations Budget, or OCO. But the last administration's budget office left those decisions for the new administration. So now what? For more, we turn to John Pendleton, Director of Defense Capabilities at the Government Accountability Office. John, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
The OCO has been politically contentious, but it's also a lot of practical decisions, I guess, that DOD has to make about what should be in it, what should not be in it. And so what did your report find, and what made you look at this now anyway?
We've actually been looking at the use of OCO. It's commonly called OCO in today's terms. It used to be called Global War on Terror Funds, or GWAT. For more than a decade, GAO has been tracking the use of it and been warning about the temptation and and raising concerns about the blending of the war funding, which was originally intended to cover incremental costs associated with going to war, fuel, ammunition, contractors, so the services didn't have to fund it out of hide, and raising concern that it's getting more and more difficult to disaggregate what is a war cost versus what would be a long-term cost, even if we didn't have wars going on.
I guess it's fair to say that at some point, war costs that are direct do back up into what might be earlier considered operational or base budget types of costs.
I think that's fair. It gets difficult to separate it out. I mean, if peace were to break out tomorrow, and I hope it will, and we brought folks home from places overseas, even places where bullets are flying, like Afghanistan, you would still need bases in that region. And even bases that are outside Afghanistan around the region are primarily being funded with OCO funds. So even if the war was to end, we would still need money to cover those bases, because I don't think anyone thinks we're going to close many of them anytime soon.
Now, a big argument has been, you know, between, I guess, or among members of Congress and White Houses and the Defense Department itself, there's always been a suspicion that defense is putting base budget type things into the OCO because of sequestration and the budget caps that have been in place. And what's the reality of the dynamic there?
I think it's pretty much an open secret at this point that OCO is being used to cover base costs. Some of the costs are actually even labeled non-war. If you break down the budget request for the current fiscal year, about 70% of it was, or $45.1 billion, was for Afghanistan, another $10 billion or so to support and equip and train and such in Iraq and Syria. And then there was over about $5 billion to actually support base requirements that's identified right in the request. And then another $3.4 billion to support the European Reassurance Initiative, initiative to reassure allies and frankly, deter Russia. And then there's another billion to cover counterterrorism. So it's a real mixed bag, but probably $30 billion or so of the overall $65 billion, although there's not a precise estimate, we'd need, even if the activities that we have ongoing in Afghanistan and such were not happening.
It strikes me almost like people trying to fill out business expenses forms. You know, the old story, well, is the hat that you had to buy for the business trip an allowable expense because you needed a hat and you were on business and you lost your hat? That similar type of item might have gotten into OCOs.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's gotten more and more difficult to disaggregate. We wrote a report nearly 10 years ago warning about this. And suggested that DOD work with the Office of Management and Budget and provide some guidance for the proper uses of overseas contingency operations funding. And they did that. They actually published guidance in 2010, but it hasn't been updated. I mean, ideally, you want to fund and I accept what you say about the difficulty of separating it out, but you want to fund long-term predictable costs out of your regular budget. I mean, you wouldn't want, and in your home, you wouldn't want to pay your car payment or your mortgage, you know, on a credit card or, you know, out of a side job. Those are predictable long-term expenses.
We're speaking with John Pendleton, Director of Defense Capabilities at the Government Accountability Office, because the Defense Department has very well-developed processes for figuring out what should be proper costs from contractors and building weapons. But it seems like this is something where their methodology just falls short, or is it something they just need to update?
Well, I think it would be helpful to have guidance, because when we began this review, you know, we like to look at what the rules are. But in this case, the rules from 2010 didn't contemplate some of the things we're doing now. For example, there's nothing in there about the European Reassurance Initiative, a deterrence operation in Europe. And so we feel like you need the controls associated with having guidance in order to be able to, provide oversight of the program.
What about China and activities that might take place in the South China Sea, which is maybe, I don't know, programmatically equivalent to the European Reassurance Initiative, where maybe we're reassuring some of the allies in South Asia? Has that come up at all yet?
Yeah, to my knowledge, that is not a specific line item. I'd have to go back and look for sure. I'm pretty sure it's not. But again, that's a really good illustration of the way that this gets blended. For example, the equipment that has been worn out, particularly ground equipment, in these operations, is typically being reconditioned, reset, they call it sometimes, using overseas contingency operations funds. And so that OCO money might be critical to allow the equipment to be available to go and do something in the South China Sea. And, I mean, Navy and everyone, you know, got OCO money to cover the costs associated with the wear and tear from the equipment. So that's in part why it gets so complicated. The department's done modernization with overseas contingency operations funds, and it's getting really, really hard to take apart, as I said.
So what are your recommendations? Are they mainly for the Defense Department or for Congress to help clarify all of this, or for all the parties involved?
What's it, you know, we are where we are. I mean, we have $30 billion or so in the OCO request that we would need, like I said, even if the wars weren't going on. And but we don't have a precise estimate of that. And so one of our recommendations was the Department of Defense that they get a precise estimate of what's the enduring cost being funded with OCO, because you need to know that before you can even begin to transition off it, because now they're talking about round figures. The other thing we recommended, you might imagine, is we recommended that the Office of Management and Budget update the guidance for the use of OCO, because it's really hard to provide oversight and virtually impossible to audit the appropriateness of the use given the outdated criteria.
And at this point, as we speak, there is still not a confirmed director of the Office of Management and Budget, but it sounds like this is something that, when there is one, that the Trump administration is going to have to figure out.
Absolutely. The nominee has made a number of statements that in the past that he feels that OCO has been used as a slush fund and other things. So should he continue along that line, the department is and the administration is going to need to figure out how to cover $30 billion, possibly more, of enduring costs.
And we still have the budget agreements in place, which Congress has not removed yet.
No, that's absolutely right, Tom. And I think that's the most important thing about this at this point. Anytime we've said to the department, including this report, that we think they need better controls over the use of the funds, or better plans to transition the cost back into the base budget, they've typically agreed with us, that is the Department of Defense, but said that they can't fit these costs within the budget caps, and that they need relief for the budget caps from the budget caps in order to be able to do that. And presumably, if you pushed these enduring costs into the base budget, it would require a deep cut somewhere else, because these are things. Overseas contingency operations funds are used to fund a special operations command, other things. These are costs we are likely to pay.
John Pendleton is Director of Defense Capabilities at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.